Josh Allen. I've been waiting for this right here. Good to see you, big guy. Congratulations on the year. It's been fun to watch.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, we're covering your game at NBC this week. Ravens, Bills, excited about that. First thing I want to ask you, just a fun question, because every week I sit there at NBC Studios and I'm a fan of yours, and me and Mike Tirico, oh my gosh, what a play by Josh Allen. Holy cow, I can't believe that. If you could pick one from 2020, what's the play that stands out to Josh Allen more than any this year so far?
One play?
Yeah, one play.
Oh my goodness. There's been some crazy ones. You know, my mind obviously goes to the one in Miami, the Van Noy throwing a linebacker down. I think most recently, this one kind of sums up the quote-unquote Josh Allen experience, if you will, was the kind of RPO. I was supposed to run it in, and I saw Dawson Knox late and just kind of shot-putted it to him, and he made the dive and catch. And sometimes it's a little chaotic. Sometimes it's not super pretty, but, you know, we got the job done on that one.
That was unbelievable, and that was total backyard chest pass basketball stuff. That was amazing. I am surprised. I thought you might take one where, you know, you got to unleash that right arm. Like maybe the play where you got out of Aaron Donald's sack and then made that throw down the middle. But last week's was pretty damn good. I can't lie.
Yeah. There's a couple that I could, like, even going back, the one with the Raiders, the little corner post to Steph where he went up and mossed the safety. Let that one go pretty good. But, you know, he made a better play than that. I could have let him a little more.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. So a little bit of a big picture question here. Because week two, you play the Miami Dolphins. They cut the lead to like 24-20. And just for me, as a fan of Josh Allen, the Bills, I respect what you're doing. I went, ooh, it's 24-20. I wonder what they're going to do. And you guys stayed the same. They let you cut it loose. You throw a long touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs. To me, that was the moment where I went, ooh, wait, Josh Allen's is in the trust tree. They trust him with the ball all the time. You know, what was that moment for you? Or was there another moment that signaled, okay, they trust me with the ball in my hand in the big moments?
Yeah, I definitely see that. It was Miami, you know, we were up late and we threw the long touchdown to John Brown there, that deep post. And, you know, Dable's been extremely open and honest to me. And, you know, there's games where he goes and we're not going to run the ball this week. We're going to throw it and we're going to put the ball in your hands. And to have that relationship with Dable that I do and the trust of him, it's awesome. You know, it really is. To go out there and play freely and play loose and not really worry about the outcome or the consequences and just try to go out there and be the best quarterback that I can be. So it's a good situation what we got going on right now. But again, it's an accumulation of 10 other guys on the field doing their job, receivers getting open, catching the ball and making me look good.
How do you balance that? Like, that's what I'm amazed by you. Like, I'm going to go out there and cut it loose, and it looks like you're having fun playing backyard football, yet you don't throw interceptions or turn the ball over. You've been very smart with the ball all year long. Like, what are some of the things that go into your mind or during some of these plays or just in general your approach?
Well, I mean, it's the trust that I have in Dable. And if he calls a shot play, me just understanding, like, if I don't have the shot, take the check down, find an outlet, and he's going to call it again because he's shown that he's going to call it again. So it's these little tidbits, too. He'll give me in my headset. He's like, hey, just OTA. It's outlet, throwaway. That's not what he calls it. What does he call it? Outlet, throwaway. Dorsey's going to get mad at me because I forget about the same. Because I haven't used it in so long because I've been good. I've been good with it. Outlet, throwaway, check down. You know, that's
OTC?
OTC. That doesn't sound right, but there's another acronym that he has, and Dorsey's going to kill me. But, you know, it's just being smart with the football, you know, trusting my guys and understanding when to say when.
Okay. All right. Well, you're good at everything else except for remembering three initials. We'll keep working that. Okay. We'll try to improve that. All right. Another just big picture thought as I watch you this year. You know, back-to-back losses against the Chiefs and Titans earlier in the year. You know, it felt like you guys were a cut below elite at that point. But ever since then, it's changed. Like, What did you learn? What changed from that point on? Or am I wrong and that's not the moment? And maybe it was the Hail Murray moment. You tell me.
No, I mean, I think going back to those games, seeing how that they were defending me, because early on we were getting a lot of man, a lot of post high, where we got into those Chiefs game and the Titans game, there was a lot of split safety zone. And, you know, at that point, just understanding what we were trying to do on offense and using Cole Beasley basically as our run game and dinking and dunking down the field, getting our guys on safeties when we could, you know, that's really what it came down to. And I was making, you know, a couple boneheaded decisions in those games that cost us a couple chances too, where we had the chance to go down and drive and make it a really close game, you know, late in that Tennessee game. And I throw a pick and they go and return it basically to the 10-yard line and score a few plays later. So, you know, just having those experiences though where things don't go in our favor and I can learn from them and I can understand, okay, let's not stress it here. Let's not press. Let's take the check down. OST, outlet scramble throwaway. There it is. You know, try to put this team in good positions to win football games.
Okay, now we got it. Outlet scramble throwaway. Okay, we finally got it. You are coachable. I just wanted to know. All right, that's good. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And as a viewer, you're right. Teams are playing you man-to-man, and that made you adjust, and you have adjusted. Now, like, here's another aspect I'm fascinated with you. Like, before a few weeks ago, it was the Josh Allen haters of the world. They can't help themselves. Plenty of them out there. I had to deal with criticism before as a player. Texas, people always had issues with me there. So I can relate. But, like, that, as much as you ignore it, I know you heard some of it. It's not pleasant. How did you internalize that? How do you channel the noise? How did you work with it?
Well, I mean, the crazy part about it is, you know, it's hard to ignore it in this day and age, and I did my best to mask it and kind of look the other way. But there's nothing anybody can say that'll hurt my feelings, because odds are I've probably said it to myself. I'm very, very critical of myself. I'm a very big negative self-talker, and to a fault sometimes, but that's what gets me going, is me kind of kicking myself in the butt and trying to shake things off that way. And again, I've had the same thoughts as a lot of other people. You know, there's been games where I just plan out wasn't good enough. And the thing is, I know I can be that guy. And until I got to that point, you know, I still negative self-talk. But now, I mean, I still always had that confidence in me. And that's never gone away. That'll never go away. Because I just always knew that I had it in me and I had to pull it out somehow. But obviously, there's still things I want to improve on this offseason when I get time. But until that point, you know, we got Baltimore on Saturday night.
So you never were like, I'm going to write the name of this guy down and remember and get my revenge. You never went down that path.
No, not at all. And again, my whole thing about playing football, it's not making everybody or proving everybody wrong. It's proving myself right one, and then proving, you know, this front office and this coaching staff that went out on a limb to trade up and get me, make them look good.
Okay, all right, because you brought it up, like, and I'm similar. I was a self-talker myself. I'm not saying I'm in Josh Allen's class as a quarterback, but, okay, you make a bad decision in the game. Like, tell me, what does Josh Allen say to himself in his head? Give me a little clue. Well,
there's a lot of bleeps. I don't make you guys press the bleep button too often, but it's just like, come on, what are we doing, man? Like, stick to the rules. Understand what you got to do. Don't throw across your body, this and that. Why would I remic it here? I saw that there was numbers on the other side. Let's leave the protection the same. It's little things. Like, even going back to last week, we had a play where Steph got up on the safety and ran a corner post and would have been a walk. And he could have fair caught it in the end zone. And, I saw the ninth, or it was a six tech, the end was tucked inside. The star was pressed. And I didn't see pressure come from their side, so I remiked it. And as soon as I snapped the ball, I saw the backside backer come, knew I was hot, and was just kicking myself, because looking at that picture after the game was just like, it makes me so mad, and I can't celebrate the fact that I just missed a play where we could have, you know, put the game away earlier. But it's just little things like that, and it's something that I've learned from, obviously, and I'll try to adjust it next time we go on the field, but little things like that just tick me off.
Yeah, I get it. So basically what you say is, I mean, fucking A, Josh, I know better than that. What are you thinking, you fucking idiot? Yeah. That's what you say to yourself.
1,000%.
Okay, good. You're my guy. I like it. That's what I'd say to myself, too. All right. You talked about, like, working on stuff. I mean, all the talk has been about your mechanics, your improved accuracy. All right. You know, why? What sparked the changes? What did you think that had to change in evaluating yourself?
Well, going to this offseason, I got my mechanics kind of digitally mapped by a little company called Biometrics. And they were able to kind of pinpoint what was firing in your motion the right way and how it was supposed to fire, and just trying to find little deficiencies in your mechanics. And I found out basically my arm was beating my hips to the release of the ball, which, you know, isn't a great thing. And I was using everything up here and nothing down in the bottom. So trying to change that, trying to make sure that my hips are firing first, kind of incorporating the little Rogers pop in my left foot. That's been a huge key and a huge help for me. It's been able to kind of make the ball come in on a hand really well. And, you know, I feel like I'm at to a point right now where I don't miss too often. And when I do miss, I understand what happened and why I missed. So it's just, it feels good. And I'm not going to lie. And it's, I talked to Tony Romo at the Super Bowl last year and just talked about, a guy by the name of Mickey Mantle, I believe, baseball player and one of the greatest players of all time. And the way that he was able to bat at such a high average, he figured out how to keep his bat in the zone the longest. I could be wrong. It could not be Mickey Mantle, but I think it was him. And me and Tony.
Yeah.
And trying to keep that bat in the range or the area of the ball as long as possible in order to create, you know, higher percentage of contact. So in my mind, I kind of twisted that and was able to find out a way how to keep my arm in the area as long as possible in order to get the ball there and not trying to create this literally this vertical angle that I was throwing on last year and causing the ball to dive and sail because my release point was at such different points where it kind of came and in my mind I see a strike zone. If I can stop my hand after I throw the ball in that strike zone, I feel like I'm, you know, more consistent and more accurate.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, it really does. So what you're basically saying is you found ways to use the hips, the body, and let the arm react off of that instead of just throwing all arm, basically. I got that right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and like what – you obviously improved. You're obviously more comfortable, like you're saying. Like, what is the sensation you get, though, as compared to maybe old Josh Allen? Is it just a total, like, I just feel like I have control of the football better? Is
control it of the football, it's spinning out of my hand. Like, there was points last year where, like, I'd have these little dirt balls, and it felt like the ball was getting stuck to my hand, and I'd release it, and I'd try to stop it. My fingers would get stuck like this, where now it's just all kind of, like, pointing the ball where it should be going, you know?
Right. And you gotta think, like, did you think about, like, your after letting the ball go, like, more across your body? Is that you think about that more? Because I noticed that with you throwing. It's more almost like that over there.
It is, but like I said, in my mind, I'm trying to stop my hand in that strike zone.
Gotcha.
I release the ball, and it's here. Once I see it kind of release and it's here, then I kind of let it go across. It's become more of a rotational thrower instead of, like I said, that vertical axis type throwing.
No doubt. That's what the good ones do. There's no doubt. You got to rotate. You can't go up and down. All right. Thank you for that. That was cool. All right. Next one. You see one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. What goes on in your mind?
Nothing else but throw it to that guy. And if he's going deep, look the safety off and give him a chance. That's it.
Oh, okay. It looks that way. I've been saying that all year long as I watch you. All right. From that, I'm going to break down this play on the pregame show on Sunday Night Football. That TD last week to Diggs, you know, the one in the fourth quarter. Kind of walk me through that, if you don't mind. Just the blitz, the mechanics of everything, you getting out from the center, getting in the shotgun, and then, of course, the strike for the touchdown.
Yeah, so we had, it was a double play. So originally I saw it too high, and I alerted it. Saw those backers bossed over. I saw the safety ready to come down, so I reloaded it. Went back to shotgun, and in that play, he's really supposed to run a post. And we're playing off the safety, and we had shown this RPO look where Steph and John were stacked. It was Cole and John were stacked. Cole runs a little short post, about 5 yards. And, you know, we had the right protection call. I got to get the re-mic. Our guys picked it up. I gave a little pump fake to Bees, who was in the slot, hoping to get that safety to dive up a little bit. He stopped his feet. But I look to the right and expected Steph to be kind of coming across the field. But all I see is his back of his numbers and the corner's numbers and kind of a late reaction, just throw it up and give him a chance, and he did the rest.
Wow. So he was supposed to run the post route, but because that corner played that inside leverage and everything like that, he ran straight, and you just saw him on the fly and did that.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I'm not very critical. Like, there's some quarterbacks that are super critical about depth and area of the field and where you got to be at this time. There's really only two things that I say to Steph. He's extremely talented. Explosive, whatever you want to call it. But all I tell him is get open, catch the ball. And it's just that type of relationship where I trust you. If you break it off, stop at 6 yards instead of 8 or 9 or whatever it is, just make sure that you're open and I'll get it to you. And, whether that's good or bad, it works for us. And it's just that relationship and that trust and the chemistry that we have.
Yeah, well, it shows. It's fun, and I'm not sure it's not the best combination in football right now. Okay, one other play from last week. Fourth quarter, free blitzer on your left. I believe it was Moore, right?
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe you swore at yourself during that one. Maybe you went, gosh damn it, fucking Josh Allen, why didn't I protect him? But either way, you avoided him and made a great throw to Gabriel Davis. Just talk about that, where, like, it didn't work out, but it worked out in the end anyways.
Yeah. I've been able to do that a couple times to these nickels that are blitzing off the edge. You put the ball in the air, and they jump. And I'm a little elusive and was able to get out of it and played my eyes a little bit. Xavier Rhodes is kind of in a little window and got him to take a step towards the flat and saw Steph out there. And he got rocked as he hit and kept on – He got rocked as he caught it. Kept on. God, I can't even talk right now. I'm sorry.
You're all right. I'm big time. I know. Don't get too nervous. It's all right. I'm just Christian.
Anyways,
saw
Xavier jumped the little flat route, gave Steph a ball we can catch, and he got rocked as he caught it and was able to hold on to the ball as he went down.
Yeah, it's just I enjoy it because you beat defenses both way right now with your brains and your brawn. And it's cool to watch because it's not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to get it right with how to protect it and all that. Okay, a few more here. Well, first off, the blitz. When did you become so comfortable with the blitz? Now, a lot of times young quarterbacks don't like the blitz. You seem like you welcome it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we can get it protected, we understand that there's zones in the defense that you just can't cover. Especially with our guys outside, it leaves matchups one-on-one, no help inside, no help outside most of the time. So, it's something that we welcome, something that we work extremely hard at. Our protection plan is key. But basically sticking to our rules and just understanding what their coverage is behind these blitz and where to attack them. We've been good at that, all year, really. And that's credit to the coaching staff for finding ways to get the ball out. And again, it's me knowing the protections, our guys executing the protection plan, and understanding when I'm not protected, if I'm hot, guys looking quick for me and giving me good body language, and that's as simple as it can get.
Yeah, right. I mean, you guys are phenomenal against it. Now you got a team like the Ravens who are also phenomenal at it on their own side as far as getting to the quarterback and blitzing. What's the best way to describe the Ravens defense?
Disruptive. Like I said, they'll bring in five big guys, drop the two guys on the left side and bring two little guys. And it's just they try to trick you and they try to get you. And it's gotten a lot of people. They'll go a lot of blitz zero. So our plan is obviously try to protect it. And when we can't, get out of the play and get into something where you can manage. Our guys know to look quick this week. And again, they got two guys on their side of the football that just they're unbelievable at punching the ball out. And Humphreys and Peters and they study film on how to get the ball out, and it's been a big emphasis on our guys this week of holding on to the ball and making sure we're running with two hands. It's they're going to blitz it, and they know that, and we know that. It's if we can stop it or not, and I really think that's going to be the key to the game.
Snow, like you played snow a lot in college. What's the rule book for Josh Allen in the snow? Has anything changed your approach, the way you grip the football or throw or anything like that?
No, actually, when it's colder and it's a little snowy, it's different when it's wet. But if it's kind of like a dry snow and it's
weird,
I actually feel like the ball comes out of my hand better. It's a weird feeling. As long as it's not super windy, you know, there's nothing that I really need to change. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I was drafted here is because I played in it in Wyoming. I got the big body and the frame to do it. So it's what I'm supposed to do, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're good at it. Now, like Lamar Jackson coming to town, same draft class. I know you probably answered this week, but, you know, how closely do you follow him? And Baker Mayfield, who's also in your class, how close do you follow, you know, your fellow 2008, you know, draftees during the season?
I mean, it's not just them. It's really whether I'm playing, as soon as I'm done playing, I'm at the house, I'm turning on football and I'm watching it, you know, NFL Red Zone with Scott Hansen, looking at all the octoboxes going on. But, you know, I follow football extremely close and I love, you know, watching my guys excel. And there's not anybody in the league that I root against, obviously, but there's a couple guys I root for, and Lamar's one of them. And just how he carries himself, you know, off the field, you know, how humble he is, the way that he plays the game, obviously, is awesome. And for him to be so scrutinized coming out, and he should switch positions, this and that, and to come out and be the unanimous MVP last year and still continue to elevate his game this year, he's been extremely fun to watch. And he's just one of those guys, you never know what's going to happen. He can pull it down and take it 70 yards, or he can, you know, make you miss in the pocket and deliver a strike downfield. So, you know, I hate playing against him because he's a tough opponent, and he brings a lot of different challenges to our defense. But, you know, hopefully we can get the better of him this week. But every other week I root for him.
Yeah, he's easy to root for, that's for sure. You guys all are from that draft class. You're all good guys. All right, second quarter, scrambling to your right last week, the Gabe Davis throw down the sideline. I mean, for 100 years of quarterbacking, that was throw the ball away, throw the ball away, throw the ball away. Like, where does the confidence come with you and your game to make some of these throws where most coaches would go, no, 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 don't do that?
I mean, I think it's just the trust that I have in my guys. You know, a guy like Gabe, who's consistently shown his ability to come back to the ball and not let balls get intercepted. And, you know, it just took one look from that corner to kind of flip his hips towards me, where I knew I had the chance to put it over the top of him. And, you know, Gabe made an unbelievable catch. For him to periff the sideline and able to stop and then toe tap, it was unbelievable.
All right. And then, like, to that, I don't know Sean McDermott that well, but I know he's a defensive coach. When did you break the ice or finally get him to buy into letting you make those throws or scrambling and throwing across your body into the middle of the field? Because I got to imagine early on when you got there, he was telling you, don't ever do that crap. How did you get him to accept it?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's accepted it yet still. Those are those howdy plays, you know, howdy do it, and those attaboy plays, you know, it's great if you complete it. It's terrible if you don't. And that's really what it is. Coach Dable said it better be, you know, damn compelling if you throw this play or throw this ball, and the compelling evidence better be he catches the ball. So as long as I throw it and they catch it, it all is dandy.
Josh, you're the man.
You're the man.
I have no more questions. I do want you to hear my song in person, though, at least once. I mean,
let's go.
Okay, yeah. We won't play this on Sunday Night Football. I hope not, at least, but it might be on my podcast or something. Okay, it really came from this last weekend where, you know, you were kind of getting in the zone, and I started going, man, here we go, Josh Allen, giddy up. And then, I don't know, I started humming, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, Josh Allen. Giddy up, it's my boy Blue. Do 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 do. He'll throw lasers right by you.
That's awesome.
It's an
homage to Wyoming. It's the Cowboys. You know, I love it.
Okay.
How many songs do you have for other guys?
I have one for Aaron Rodgers. He was the first one, and I just make that like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, you're the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. That's what I say to him. I have Patrick Mahomes. You might be too young for this, but there was a toy when I was younger called My Buddy. So I go, my homie, my homie, my homie. And that's that song. I feel really embarrassed saying these to you right now, but it's very nice of you to act interested. And I have a few others too, but you're one of like five or six songs that I have, only for the special quarterbacks.
Well, I'm in good company. That's awesome.
Good. All right. Now go ahead and go win that playoff game this week. You the man. Thanks for taking time, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you.
See you, Josh.